We continue our series on holy living, or holy lives. You remember the text of our year is, "Be holy, because I am holy." And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at different aspects of how that relates to our everyday living. And today, we are looking at the theme of holy relationships. There was a minister who was going to preach on this theme. And one of the challenges that preachers have is finding relevant illustrations. And this minister was finding it really hard to find a way into the theme of holy relationships. It just happened he went to a place where the bishop was preaching that week. And the preacher used an illustration. And it was this: "Friends, I need to confess to you that once I woke up naked in the arms of a woman who wasn't my wife. It was my mother." The preacher thought, what a brilliant illustration, and so he got to his church and he said, "Friends, I need to confess to you, I once woke up naked in the arms of a woman who wasn't my wife." Oh, I've forgotten who it was. Holy relationships. We live in an age of dysfunctional relationships, and also in the age of my, me, and self. Everything is centered around us as individuals. If I am happy, then that's all that matters. It doesn't matter about anybody else. I've just got to make sure that I am happy. And to a large extent, we live in an age where we have become more and more distant. I saw a cartoon recently of a family who were there sitting, looking at their screens. And the caption was, "We've got closer to those who are far away, but further from the ones who are sitting next to us." The sense of screen time that takes us away from everything. Do you know what, though? The whole thing of me, myself, and me is contrary to the teachings of Scripture. God is about a God of community and relationships. It starts off in Scripture where God in creation says it is not good for man to be alone. And it's not good for us to be alone. It's not good for us to function as individuals. We belong in community. A loving relationship with God is, of course, our first importance. But also loving relationships with others is second. The Bible tells us the things about these two important relationships and that we should take notice of. Maybe you remember those moments where you were really close to someone for the first time and how important it was. This week, Vicky and I have had a selfish week of being spoilt by grandchildren. And do you know that the favourite phrase is, "I want a story read by Gramps." As she came up, and I was invited to read, for the sixth time that day, "Peppa Pig Goes to London." But you know, I didn't care about Peppa Pig going to London. I was in a relationship with someone special to me. And they were sat there. And that's what healthy relationships are. They're by choice, but they're also the coming together. But the Bible talks about healthy relationships so highly. It talks about how we care for one another. And it is sad that there are so many people who live in hurting and broken relationships. It's sad that even in the church, many homes have been shattered by divorce. And so many who stay married are unhappy in that relationship. Their homes are tense battlegrounds, not a loving refuge. And many Christian parents are at odds with their kids, and their kids are at odds with their parents. On a church level, there's those who fall out with church, and they bounce from church to church, leaving a trail of damaged relationships behind. I know of Christians who won't speak to other Christians because of misunderstandings, hurts, and wrongs that have taken place often well in the past. Sadly, the loving families, the genuine friendships, and the healthy relationships that we want most in life often elude us. And very much of that is because we have bought into the self, the me, the my. But God's gracious treatment, his loving treatment of us, is a basis for our treatment of one another. And as we look at this whole theme of holy relationships, I want you to maybe think of three relationships that are important to you. And I want you to nearly put an assessment upon them. I know this is dangerous. And you might want to do this again after the service. You might want to do it in the week. And if you particularly want to do that listening to the sermon again, it's normally uploaded by about Tuesday so that you can hear it again off the website and just go through it for yourself. So maybe you're thinking of three relationships right now. It might be a friendship. It might be a relationship in church. It might be a relationship with a spouse or your children. Let's look at what holy relationships are. And you might want to look at Colossians chapter 3 at the same time. Paul lists so much in this. But relationships is about two parties. It's about us and the other. And Paul gives prescription for healthy and unhealthy relationships here. And in verses 5 and following, we see here that there are things that are unhealthy and things that are healthy. And if we consistently practice the qualities that are healthy, we have healthy relationships. But you're thinking, healthy relationships depend on the others, don't they? It's virtually impossible to have a good relationship with some people. And maybe you're thinking of people you try to love and they just won't let you close. Or they bite back at you. Let me just say, Paul tackles that in the book of Romans, where in chapter 12, verse 18, it says, if impossible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Just sometimes it can depend on us, but we can't do, or it doesn't, we do all we can, but the others won't receive it. And sometimes you just got to say, well, I'm going to let that go. I'm going to let that go. That's outside of my power. That's outside of what I can do. Sometimes, no matter what you do, some people are hard to get along with. And often, if you treat the difficult person with the qualities that Paul says, they can change for the better, but sometimes they just will not change. But in this passage, you've got to see that Paul says in verse 5, there are some qualities you've got to put to death. So some things to kill. And there, verse 5 lists them: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. The sense that you've got to kill them, you've got to put them to death. And that means that we have got to decide for ourselves that we are not going to be part and our lives are not going to have those things in them. We're not going to allow immorality in our lives. We're not going to allow lust to affect us. how much of life is dependent upon looks. And we base relationships on how the other person looks, don't we? The media does that. And so often when one partner doesn't look as good as they used to, there's, oh, well, I'll see if I can find a newer model, a better model. Reminds me of the Amish family. You know of the Amish community. They reject all technology. They reject modern life. And they live often in parts of America and Canada in the enclaves of the Amish people. And an Amish family went on holiday and they found themselves in the middle of an American shopping mall. And they were looking everywhere. They'd never seen this technology. Lights flashing, computers, it's all going on. And then the father saw this old, frail woman going in through these doors, and the doors shut behind her. And above the doors was a number, and it went from 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It stopped. And then it went 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. The doors open and out came this gorgeous looking young woman. And the father looks at his children and says, quick, go and get your mum. That's not what relationships are based on. Not biblical relationships. It's not on looks, it's upon heart. It's upon putting away the things that are not of God. And Paul says in Colossians, put them to death. Go back to your assessment of your relationships. Are there some things you need to put to death in those relationships? Are there some things you need to stop doing? But Paul has a second list put aside. And in verse 8 and 9, we see this list. But now you must get rid yourself of these things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. How much of that exists within your relationships? Anger. Are we angry people? What's driving that anger? Anger is something that really undermines relationships. Malice, slander. Just the number of times I have sat sadly while one marriage partner tells me of all the faults of the other marriage partner, and sometimes highly exaggerated. It's sad. Abusive speech. Do you live in a relationship? Are you in relationships where you're just abused all the time? Or maybe you're the abuser. You're wanting to constantly put the other one down. Put the other one down. Just get into there, you know. As long as I not seem to be weak. Maybe in a relationship of control. And then verse 9 talks about this word. Do not lie to each other, since you've been taking your own self with practices. Truth. Sometimes truth is one of the hardest things to find. Sometimes truth is the thing we hide ourselves from, don't we? We don't even like sometimes to admit truth to ourselves. And maybe as you're doing this assessment, you're going to suddenly find what is true. And you're going to need to ask yourself, what do I do about the truth I discover? The challenge is that we truly evaluate ourselves and others, and we are in relationships, not lying to the other and not lying to ourselves. You see, the toxicity of damaged relationships is how much it destroys a person. And whether it's that we don't believe that there is a lie that we teach our children. You've heard the lie, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. In any relationship, if you are constantly throwing a name, throwing a comment, if you're constantly undermining and getting into the person by saying, you're useless, you'll never come to anything, you'll never be good enough, you're a failure. Have you heard those things said? Maybe they've been said to you, and you have grown to believe them. And the relationship you're in is one of when somebody's saying you're a failure, you say, yeah, I know I am. I've been told that all my life. Let me say, the rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, is a lie. Words that come out of our mouth in relationships hurt. Paul, writing to the Philippians, talks about whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's praiseworthy. Think about those things. And we need to think about the good things. And not spend our time destroying the others with negative words. Very often, you end up in a relationship you deserve if you constantly are putting the other person down. So maybe today, in your assessment of your relationships, it can be, how can I put good in? How can I put good in? How can I say something good to my marriage partner today? How can I show the good qualities? How can I talk about that which is praiseworthy? How can I overcome and come away from the negativism that is surrounding us day by day? Have you been comparing yourself with the magazine pictures, reading the gossip columns and thinking, I will never be good enough? It's a lie. It's a lie. I'm going to stop for a moment and just ask you, do you need to see yourself afresh as God sees you? Ignore what your parents may have said to you as a child, or that school teacher who said something like, you're rubbish. How can you see yourself today? Maybe through the eyes of God, who demonstrates what relationship with others is. God looks at you and says, you are my creation. God looks at you and says, you are special. God looks at you and says, I love you. I really love you. God looks at you and says, it doesn't matter what you look like or how clever you are my child and I am proud of you. God doesn't say, I'll be proud of you if you hit the top of your career. God says, I'll be proud of you because I love you. And I just want to say, it doesn't matter your history, or what you have said or done in the past, God wants to make you a new creation. And as we come to the theme of holy relationships, the one relationship God wants for you is a relationship with Him. And that starts with God saying, I created you, I loved you, I have forgiven you, come and be in my relationship with me. I also want to stop and say, for those who've been beating themselves up for years because of careless or deliberate things that were said to them in the past, they're rubbish. They're rubbish. Every person has potential in God. Every person has beauty in God. Every person. Is it time you started to believe differently about yourself than what you have believed for 10 years, 20 years, 60 years, 70 years? You have value. And so we come back to relationships. And Paul has listed in the first part of these things what you need to put to death. He's listed a list of what you need to get rid of. And then in verse 12, we come back to put God first. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. You are God's chosen people, and you are dearly loved. And then God gives us a recipe, if you want, for holy relationships. And that's how we treat others, and how we should expect to be treated ourselves. Yes, it's okay to have expectations on how you are treated in a relationship. And if you look at verse 12 following, it starts off with the word compassion. In a relationship, we should be treated with compassion, and we should treat others with compassion. How many times in the teachings of Jesus, and when Jesus is going around, do we hear the words, and Jesus had compassion on them? Compassion, care, love. Wanting to invest in a person. Compassion is such an important thing that we should all experience and give. The first word in this relationship is compassion. The second word is kindness. Treating one another with kindness. Joe, I often hear the phrase, look, I can't help being angry, it's just the person I am. I can't help being forthright, it's just the person I am. I can't help being vocal, it's just the person I am. I'm going to say something now. That is rubbish. You can change. You can be different if you let God take control. You can't say, I'm an angry person, that's the person I am. That's not what you should be. Change is possible. You can show kindness, deep kindness, but you've got to let go of me, myself, and mine to see that you can put good into another. Third word, humility. Humility. That's one of those hard words, isn't it? It's like saying, you know, I've become humble and I'm proud about it. It's often said if you think you're humble, you're probably not. But I don't find that helpful or correct. It's not helpful because how can I obey Jesus' command to be humble if I don't know when I've actually achieved it? And it's not correct because Moses, Jesus and Paul all claim to be humble. So we're calling Jesus a sinner. So I think that we can know when we are humble, so we know when we have obeyed this command. Humility does not mean that when somebody pays you a compliment, you look down and say, well, it wasn't really much. How many of us find taking criticism easy? When somebody says you messed up, how many of us believe that straight away? I think most of us do, if we're being honest. One or two put their hands up, but everybody else says, no, I never hurts me. People can be critical all they like, it never hurts me. Look, let's be honest. There's not one person in this room where criticism does not hurt. We need to learn to let the good penetrate as deep as the bad. When people criticize us, we let that go deep down, don't we? When in our relationships somebody criticizes us, we let that go right into us. And you know, that actually has an effect of helping make us bitter people, angry people, hurt people. Now when somebody comes up to you and says, you did a great job, how do you respond? Oh, they're just saying it. And if 10 people said something good and one said something bad, which would have had the biggest effect, the 10 or the 1? It's always the 1, isn't it? Let's start to think about how we deal with relationships and how we deal with things that are said to us. Let's start to allow ourselves to absorb good things that are said to us. Jesus spent his ministry speaking good into people's lives. And he wants to speak good into your life. So next time somebody says something to you, oh, well, that was good. Thank you. You really helped me. Receive it. Receive it. If you don't know how to respond, hug the person. If they're a huggable type. Or shake hands. If they're not. Humility is not sort of about being so humble that nobody can say something good about you. It's about not thinking of yourself as more important than the other. So you're constantly trying to do that for the other. But it doesn't mean that you beat yourself up and put yourself into such a low place that you have no worth yourself. You have worth because God loved you. So the third word we had there was humility. Fourth word, gentleness. Gentle speech, gentle actions, gentle conversations. Gentleness is a quality that should be in relationships. Patience. Whoever you're in a relationship, whether it's your husband, wife, children, people in the church, your friends, at times you're going to need patience. People are people are people. And you'll want people to show you patience when you get it wrong. So patience. Forgiveness. Oh, I am so glad for those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who have forgiven me when I've said something wrong or got something wrong. Forgiveness is something we need to do. We're in a society where revenge is a stronger word than forgiveness. And so much street crime and gang crime is about revenge. If we learned to forgive, we would be in a more peaceful environment. Paul goes on with another word. Verse 4:13, bear with each other and forgive one another and love. There's love in there. Over all these virtues, put on love. And love should be an unconditional love. Love is a commandment of Jesus. It's not a choice. Unless you have different kinds of love, and I've not got time to go into them all this morning. There's that love you have within a marriage for a husband and wife, but there's that love you have for other people, which is not the emotional, erotic love, but the love of putting others first. And then the word unity is there. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Think about your relationships. I don't know how you're getting on with your relationships as we've looked through these qualities. There are those relationships where relationships have fallen out. And they start back with the me, mine, myself. In any relationship, whether it's a friendship, parent and child, marriage relationship, there is never a winner and a loser. There's either two winners or two losers. Because if there hasn't been gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love, then the whole relationship has lost. Think about those relationships, and as we learned at the men's breakfast the other week, this is probably something that the women are going to be better off. Those relationships where you can ring up a friend after 3 months and not talking for three months because you just haven't seen each other. You ring them up and you start the conversation as if you've never been away. And you think that's such a valuable relationship. We need to nurture those. But we also need to nurture those relationships close to us. And I want to say, are there relationships that need to become holy? Where God is in the midst, where the lusts, evil desires and that have been put to death, where anger and those other qualities have been put aside, and where Paul's writing in verses 12 to 14 have been put in the centre. Have you got a relationship that you need to go back to and think about what are you putting in? Is it time to start recenter your relationship upon Christ and put Christ back in the middle? Have you felt that your marriage maybe is drifting apart and you need to come back together? And it's drifting apart because you have forgotten to put in the good and only the anger and those things are there. Is it time that you need to come back and start forgiving one another and rededicating your relationships to God? Is it time that your friendships put on a new holy quality? After this service, there'll be people who'll pray with you both upstairs and down. And maybe before you go from this place, you need prayer about your relationships, that you're going to let God take control. And I want to go back to that other issue we met just in the middle of this, where we were talking about how we value ourselves and the lies that we have been told. Is today a time when you need to let go of the lies? Let go of those negatives that people have been saying about you, maybe in a close relationship with you. And they've been putting you down and down and down. Is it time to let go of those as well? To hear the voice of God that says you are special. You are loved. I want to give you a new beginning. There's people who will pray for you in the by the piano and in the centre of the gallery. If there's a number of people needing prayer, I wonder if the deacons and leaders could just be aware and just come and support the prayer ministry team. But don't go from this place thinking, yeah, I'll deal with that later. This could be the moment when it's time to come to holy relationships where Christ can come back in and we can begin again. Amen.